Welcome to Farmscape Online. I'm Bruce Cochran. My guest is Dr. Emma Allen Virko, a professor of microbiology with the University of Guelph and a Tier 1 Canada Research Chair. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Allen Virko.
Thank you for having me.
As part of a swine innovation pork session held in conjunction with the 2020 Banff Pork Seminar, you discussed the topic, what is the microbiome anyway? Gut health and how it impacts pig production. First of all, a little bit of background. Just what is the microbiome? What does it consist of? And what role does it play in health?
Okay, well, the microbiome is sort of a complicated word, I guess. It's for the collection of microbes that lives on us and in us. So the human microbiome is anyway, and obviously the pig microbiome would be what lives on pigs. The gut microbiome is the area that I focus on. It's if you were to consider the planet as or Earth as a sort of like your microbiome, then the gut microbiome would be a super city on that planet. It contains most of the gut microbial most of the microbial diversity in the body. And these microbes are made up of a number of critters. There's the bacteria, which are very numerous and the ones which have been sort of analyzed the most. But we also have yeast and fungi and viruses and also critters, things like amoeba and things like that. So there's quite a lot of diversity. And in terms of what these microbes do for us, it's really a question of what they don't do. They actually control a surprising amount of human physiology. And the more we look, the more we're finding. So there's quite a bit that they do in terms of helping to regulate gut motility, helping to educate the immune system, helping us to process and to digest food, and many other things as well.
In terms of human health, what distinguishes between a healthy and an unhealthy microbiome?
So that is actually the million-dollar question right now. One of the things that has been consistently hard to do in microbiome research is to define what a healthy microbiome is. We really don't know what it is. But we have had a few clues as to what we should be looking for. One of the biggest things is that it seems like people who have the healthiest microbiomes have a lot more diversity in their microbiomes. In other words, they have a lot more different microbial species in their guts or on their bodies than we would see in other less healthy individuals. So it seems like diversity is important. And that makes a lot of sense when you think about, each of these microbes brings to the table a capacity, like a biochemical trick or some ability that the others don't. And so the more diversity that you have, the more biochemical tricks, you can actually carry out with this repertoire of microbes. And so it does make sense that more diversity would lead to greater health. Now, the issue is just understanding what are these markers for general health, and is there an upper limit to how diverse an ecosystem should be? We don't know the answers to those questions yet.
How will the health of the gut or of the gut microbiome impact overall health, vitality, and potentially longevity, and what are the factors there?
So again, we don't really know too much, but what we do understand is that the gut microbiome needs to develop. That you start out life as a sterile individual when you're born. Fetus is sterile, so the moment you're born, you start being colonized by microbes. And one of the things that we're beginning to understand is that colonization process in the first years of life is quite rapid. That's when you get the most diversity. But perhaps more importantly, it seems to slow down in humans by the age of about three. And after that point, it becomes actually very difficult to colonize your gut anymore, in particular with microbes. And we don't really understand why. It becomes much more difficult to introduce new microbes. And so it seems that there's a window for this development of the gut microbiome. We don't really understand too much about this process. We don't really understand too much about which microbes are generally better for health. But there are many studies that are underway right now to try and understand those kinds of aspects. Beginning to sort of show a little bit of information about potentially very beneficial microbes. One of the really interesting areas that I work in is actually starting to look at people in hunter-gatherer civilizations who have never really had exposures to the kinds of things that us in the Western world have had exposure to. And these people have very diverse gut microbiomes. We don't know whether that means that they are necessarily more healthy, but we really don't know what it means. And it's actually going to be fascinating to find out what some of these missing microbes that the hunter-gatherer people have are actually doing to help our health. And so that's a current area of interest for sure.
What strategies are being used now or are being considered or explored to improve the health of the gut microbiome?
So quite a few people who are working in this field consider the idea of trying to augment the microbiome, putting back missing microbes, for example, as one strategy. We can do that, and we were already doing that in a way using something called fecal transplant, which is a bit icky and nasty to think about, but really makes a lot of logical sense in some diseases where you might have suffered a catastrophic loss of your microbiome. Putting back an ecosystem is actually going to help you get over the disease. So I think that's one sort of strategy, although it's a little bit old-fashioned from the point of view that it's a little bit dangerous, I should say, because there's a lot of unknowns in stool and in feces. And so if we're using feces as medicine, that's a bit tricky. So one of the things that is definitely on the horizon and that I'm involved in actually in an active research role in this is to develop what we call microbial ecosystem therapeutics. In other words, taking feces but culturing the microbes from it to get pure microbes from that ecosystem that we can very, very carefully and well characterize, and then putting these microbes back together into a capsule, if you like, so that they can be given a little bit like a probiotic is now given. So I think that those are, we tend to call them sort of like smart probiotics. They're not really defined as probiotics, but they are kind of the probiotics of the future. And then another area that I think we'll really begin to see a little bit more research in is the introduction of what we call prebiotics. And these are not live organisms. These are actually food substrates that the microbiome can use. And if we do this cleverly, then we might be able to actually provide the probiotic, if you like, or the interesting or new and useful strains, along with the food that these strains like to eat to enable them to really get a handle in the gut and to colonize and to provide benefits for the host.
How can research related to the gut health of one species be applied to another species, such as applying discoveries related to human health to pig health or vice versa? And what is the significance of that?
So that's a great question. I think that human research is always sort of advanced much faster than animal health research. But animal research has often been just a couple of steps behind. And I think that there's a lot that we've already learned from looking at the human microbiome that could already be applied to the pig to the pig field. So I would say in particular, pigs are a great starting point because pigs and humans share a lot of anatomical similarities. We're omnivores, we're both omnivores, both species are omnivores. And we have the same kind of sort of adult weights and the sort of size, if we like, of our guts, sort of the same kind of ratio to the rest of our bodies. And there's a number of other things that that suggest that what we're learning in humans can be applied to pigs fairly successfully. And I think that the differences here is what we're learning in terms of development, if you like, in particular of humans, and this sort of window of development that we have for the microbiome could well be applied to pigs. I would imagine that would be the period of time before weaning. And I think that this is an opportune window to change things in the pig. And so I think that there's a lot we can learn from what we're learning in humans. And I'm excited to see whether we can translate some of the work that we've done in humans into the animal space.
what can we expect to unfold as research around the microbiome continues?
Well, I would hope that one of the key things that we would see for human health, it would be an improvement in human health, obviously, in certain diseases. But for animal health, it might be an improvement in resilience, for example, resilience and resistance to diseases that are caused by common pathogens, which at the moment are being managed through higher biosecurity, lots of cleaning, and trying to keep these pathogens out. When in fact, another strategy might be to actually colonize the microbiota with organisms that can naturally outcompete these pathogens. And so that biosecurity doesn't need to be quite as tight, because it's very expensive, obviously, and very difficult sometimes to put together. So I would hope that by providing a more diverse microbiome to a pig that has been sort of engineered, if you like, we can engineer that, in fact, to help resist certain pathogens that cause big problems, especially during that weaning period in the pigs.
And is there anything you would like to add?
No, I mean, just to say that I think there's a very exciting time in science. I don't think, I'm very lucky that I work in this area, and I'm very excited to see how things unfold.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our guest has been Dr. Emma Allen Virko, a professor of microbiology with the University of Guelph and a Tier 1 Canada Research Chair. For Farmscape Online, I'm Bruce Cochran.